Welcome back, everybody, to the We Are Adult Show, brought to you by Hobbyhead Productions. I am your captain, Sean, across the way, my right-hand man, Daniel. How are you doing?
Am I your number one? Or
you're
your
like,
number two?
Probably, like, my ten. No, not that low. I mean, Brownie's got to be at the bottom of the list, so probably, like, four? Two?
Well,
maybe two.
I mean, if it makes you feel any better for Mike, we're all at the bottom of the list because he doesn't ditch us to go. He's never just a dog to come to one of our birthday parties.
Exactly. Here, you're number one in disappointing me. How about that?
Okay. Yay, I'm number one.
On the whole list of people that disappoint me, you're number one.
You sound like my mom and my wife. So, you know, Sean, when people normally look at WebMD,
mm-hmm.
you know, they think they're going to die, right? They have, like, a tumor or mm-hmm. some sort of weird disease.
I have a slight itchy from rubbing against poison ivy. You're going to die. Oh. Gotcha. That
so
escalated
why is it
quickly.
That when exactly. So why is it that when I look at WebMD, I'm like, I think I might have Asperger's.
I have no idea.
Which, like, because Asperger's is, like, a form of autism, but it's, like, not that bad. Like, it's different. But then that got me thinking, too.
Are you vaccinated?
No. Yes, but that gives you full-blown autism, not Asperger's. It's, like, I'm guessing it might be, like, the difference between, like, HIV and AIDS.
Not HIV, but full-blown AIDS.
Exactly. Like, if you've ever watched The Big Bang Theory.
It's been a while.
The prevailing theory was that Sheldon had Asperger's.
Gotcha.
But then it got me thinking, if you, like, have Asperger's or Down syndrome,
mm-hmm.
is it okay for you to drop the R word? The same way that black people can drop the N-bomb?
I just feel like I feel like you don't have Asperger's because you're not smart enough.
Well, I don't think it's a sign of intelligence, because...
I think it is.
It's mostly, like, social awkwardness stuff. Like, the symptoms. You can be smart or dumb and have Asperger's.
Fair enough. All right. I mean, I don't have a science degree. A medical degree to diagnose your whether or not you have it. I'm just saying from my personal experience.
And that's what I'm saying.
As a famous podcaster, I just don't think that you're smart enough to have Asperger's.
And that's what I'm saying. I'm not necessarily saying I have it. I'm just saying my WebMD didn't lead me to having cancer. It led me to having Asperger's. Because most people who look at WebMD don't have cancer. They just have, like, a headache.
Did you look up symptoms of small penis?
No.
Is that where
I
went? Just wondering why you got on WebMD in the first place.
You know, because I wanted to see if I'm dying. Isn't that why everybody gets on WebMD?
Gotcha.
What am I? Well, not so much if I'm dying, but what am I currently dying of? Oh, man. But then again, I guess that's why we have beer, Sean, so we can just drink away our deaths, right?
Exactly. You can't worry about things when you're drunk.
Right.
Or maybe so, it just makes you worry more. I'm not sure which one it is.
The plan is to drink till you don't feel feelings anymore, right?
I think so. So what are you drinking today to drown your sorrows?
I'm drinking a fancy imported beer from the Netherlands.
Oh, boy.
It's a Bommen and Graniten is the brewery.
Mm-hmm.
Brewery de Molen. Actually, but it's a Bommen and Graniten is the name of the beer. The brewery is Brewery de Molen. It is a barley wine. Barley wine is life, bro.
What?
So it's handcrafted.
I thought you were not on board for barley wine.
That was the old me, dude. This is the new me. I've been brainwashed by the Don't Drink Beers and the Multi Boys.
2019, Danny, drinking sours and barley wine. I got you.
Yes. Well, I've got my dad converted. He drinks hazies and sours. He's a hazy boy. Yes, I took him to Carl Strauss, and he got himself a flight. He didn't like their red trolley ale at all, just to let you know.
It's okay. At least he's not my father.
You know, well, exactly, he's my father, because we both agreed that beer was the worst of the flight.
Here we go. Anyways, let's move on to, you know, your barley wine.
So, I actually pulled this out because I had a question, and I'll get to that in a second, but I'll read the description. It's handcrafted, unfiltered, unpasteurized, but, and I have a time limit within which I have to drink it. The time limit is 25 years. Enjoy within 25 years of 2016. So I'm well ahead of schedule on that.
Yeah, you are. So is this supposed to get better as it ages?
I don't know. I think I bought the last one at the La Bodega. And if not, maybe I'll go back and get one to keep it for another 20 years.
Open it like in 10 drink years.
Yeah, maybe buy two more, one in 10 years and one in 20 years.
Yeah. Make sure you take a recording of yourself and put it on YouTube so you remember what it tastes like.
Right, or just make somebody else listen to this podcast.
You know, we have a hard time with that.
Exactly.
All these Facebook ads, I thought we were supposed to get more listeners. They lied to us, damn it.
When you're targeting the old peoples, the geriatrics.
We have a cute anime hop. How are we not picking up all the chicks?
Or at least the neckbeards.
I don't care. Anyway,
my lady. So its ingredients are water, pills, Munich, and corn, Kara barley malts, Slotic, Priminol, and Saaz hops yeast for top fermenting. But the question I had is, what exactly is Plato a measurement of?
I have no idea.
Why do you even brew? Do you even brew, dog? See, we couldn't make it through an episode without bringing them up, could we?
I guess not. I'm on retirement until my new brew kettle gets here in June sometime.
Well, that means you should at least know some things.
It doesn't mean I know everything. Jeez.
Apparently you don't know anything.
Wow. I feel very attacked right now.
So, but it comes in at 32 Plato.
Gotcha.
It's the Plato scale is an empirically derived hydrometer scale to measure density of beer wort in terms of percentage of extract by weight. So it's like I guess it goes with the IBUs and stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
The starting gravity.
Okay.
So yes, I don't know why I have to educate you, man.
All right. I guess I'll just have to do more research. I'll be better next time. I'm sorry.
And then somebody's lying to me, Sean, on this beer.
Honestly, Danny, you don't even have a certificate. I have a certificate in homebrewing. You have nothing. Like, why should I pay attention to you?
Well, if you have a certificate, then I should take it back from you because you've just been disqualified. But because the reason why I think somebody's lying is because the bottle says 15.2% alcohol by volume.
Yep.
But then the untapped puts it in at 11.9%.
Somebody's pulling a sneaky.
I know. But it's pretty good. It's got a nice amber, like darkish color.
Keep drinking it, and I'm sure you'll figure out if it's 15 or 11.
Exactly.
In about another 10 minutes of Danny slurring, then it was a 15% alcohol beer.
If it's 20 minutes, then it's 11.
All right, boys and girls, get the timer out.
Did you ever see an old movie starring Rodney Dangerfield called Back to School?
No, I did not watch it.
Basically, the premise is he's rich, getting divorced from his current wife. Well, his son is kind of going through college. It has Robert Downey Jr. in it, playing the friend of the son.
Yeah.
But so basically he decides to move into the dorm next to his son, kind of go back to school.
Yeah.
Hence the title of the movie. But there's a part where they're at the local bar. Mm-hmm. And so it's his son, Robert Downey Jr.'s character, the girl that the son likes, the guy, Robert Downey Jr. and his bouncer, his basically security guard slash driver.
Yeah.
And he tells the waitress comes over, it's like, bring a pitcher every 5 minutes until someone passes out, then bring one every 15 minutes.
Yeah.
That's going to be like the podcast. Just keep drinking it until you're ready to pass out, and then just kind of slow down a little bit, but keep drinking.
Fair enough. Oh, that's too funny.
So what are you drinking there, Shawnee boy?
I'm drinking one of the only non-independent beers I'll ever drink.
The Summer Shandy?
That is correct. You win a prize. You know, you get to be less sad for 20 minutes. I am drinking Leinenkugel's Summer Shandy, and it is one of the only non-independent beers that I typically will drink. It just sounded so good, you know. I was thinking Memorial Barbecue. I had my lime and sea salt sour from Dogfish Head. I don't even think they're independent anymore. I don't know how to rate them. And then, bam, I was looking at that Leinenkugel can, and I was like, that just sounds so tasty. And I bought some.
But yeah, but the salty one too from Dogfish Head is also would have been a very excellent choice. I think those might be like the two non-craft beers that I will drink.
Yeah, I think I drink like two each. So I got plenty of each in the fridge.
Nice, because you're enjoying that nice summer weather in Ohio.
Yeah, I'll drink like a beer in the afternoon and then coffee at night while it's raining and it's back down to like under 50 degrees. It's just like ridiculous. I think one of the guys at work said like the farmers are basically getting ready to like start panicking because the ground is so mushy and not firm, so they can't like plan anything. So they're talking about like the cost of certain plants are going to go up over this year because
right.
They can't grow any.
Right, they're kind of talking about that in North Dakota when we're there too, because you know even with when the snow we got when we were there in April, they're talking that you wouldn't be able to start planting stuff until June, middle to end of June.
Yep.
And normally, like, they have a saying out there, apparently, that the corn is supposed to be knee-high by the 4th of July.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of hard for it to be knee-high when you've only planted it, like, 2 weeks ago.
Exactly.
So I know North Dakota, they do corn, they do wheat, they do flax seed stuff. They do a bunch of, like, stuff. So it'll be interesting to see how our produce stuff and all that, or even our meat, too, because some of the grain and stuff goes to feed the cattle, not just feed the peoples.
Feed the people.
Oh, man. So, Sean, I know we bring it up all the time, but apparently breweries haven't learned. If you don't start none, there won't be none.
If you don't start a beer, you can't finish a beer.
If you don't start the drama, there won't be no drama. Right?
Who's got drama?
Well, the brewery is Mirage Brewing, and mm-hmm. It's gotten down to the point where more than enough breweries have like made dumb mistakes for the other breweries to see the reaction on social media to say like, well, maybe we should be a little more careful, right?
Yep.
So they released a double can day. They had a double can release, and mm-hmm. They decided that to make their beer cans one Crips related themed and one Bloods themed.
That sounds like, you know, it wouldn't go wrong.
Not at all, right? So they've, you know, people kind of jumped all over them, of course. And then they kind of released an actual semi-legit apology. Came out and said, full agree, those labels were a dumb idea. Still going to release the beers, but they didn't spell a full word. With new names and all proceeds going to the Southern Poverty Law Center.
Mm-hmm.
And then they released another tweet. Hey, I just want to direct any concerned to what I hope is the thorough apology here, and then they have a link where they wrote a more in-depth apology, like actually on their website as opposed to just a tweet. And then the Instagram page that I was following that kind of had all the updates is like, and let us be clear, we're not telling anyone to forgive. That's not our place. The move was a fuck move, and we didn't even say whether we did or didn't ourselves, but we do respect when people can admit to their fuck-ups. Everyone has to make that decision themselves. We're simply being diligent and keeping you informed on what has and is transpiring. And so, you know, I kind of talked it over, and my, you know, this happened, kind of all pretty much went down yesterday, so my wife was here, and she was like, asked me why, you know, if it bothered, why it bothered me or whatever, and I was like, because it's just, it's not clever, it's kind of lazy, right?
That is true. I mean, I think, like, you know, even when I was brewing beer, like, it took me a long time to, like, think of different things, and, like, I found, I would find, like, inspirations. You know, I was thinking of, you know, the chocolate raspberry stout, you know, what is a clever name for that? And then, you know, I was looking at the Christmas, when I brewed a Christmas ale, like, what was I going to do with that? And, you know, I guess, like, it takes a lot of time, and, you know, I get it, like, you can be lazy and just call it something, but, you know, when you think about how do you, it's funny, because, like, it's like, here's a beer that people generally like, do I have a name for it? Like, if I was to make, like, a picture or some kind of beer art for it, how would I want it to look? Like, there's a big process in that, and just to, and I get, like, people get lazy, so I think it's kind of funny, like, I don't even think it's, like, that crazy. Like, I don't even get the blue one, where are you from?
Well, because that's, like, if you're going through, like, their neighborhood, they want to, like, that's basically they're checking you to see what gang you're with.
Gotcha.
And they decide whether or not that you're an ally or someone that they need to, you know, either rough up or, you know, kill.
True.
So, you know, my wife was asking me, kind of, like, you know, I was like, look, you know, I have a fucked up sense of humor. You know, she got mad at, like,
that's true.
Like, she kind of got upset because her dad, her cousin and me were kind of sitting around at the barbecue making pedophilia jokes. And she's like, you know, that's not funny. There's some things that shouldn't be joked about. So I'm like, look, you know, my sense of humor is, like, definitely skewed towards inappropriate. And, you know, I don't find this, like, this is just, like, for shock value, trying to make it seem cool that, like, for a brewery, like, back in Vermont, I think, wherever it was back on the East Coast, is trying to, you know, give themselves some sort of cred or something
by tying
themselves with gang culture.
Oh, so Mirage isn't even on the West Coast?
No.
Oh, my gosh. That's funny.
Yeah, and they kind of had a picture of them all, like, posing around, like, the fermenter.
Why do I just imagine, like, a bunch of, like, hillbilly white people? Not hillbilly.
Because you're not wrong.
Woodsy white people.
Because you're not wrong.
Was there at least two Duck Dynasty beards?
I don't remember, but I'm sure there was more than zero beards. Yes.
Fair enough.
You know, and I told my wife, I was like, I think, because there's been breweries that have been shut down because of stuff like this. And I was like, well, if they come out and, like, sincerely apologize and maybe offer to donate the money to charity or something like that, then that might save the PR. And she's like, well, would you forgive them? And I'm like, well, that's not really up to me. Like, I'm not the one that's offended by it. I just think it's stupid, you know?
True.
I mean, that's up to the people. Like, and that's what the post said. It's like, we're not, you know, that beer culture. They're actually trying to get education both in the black community towards craft beer, and also in the craft beer community about, like, these breweries that kind of set up in the inner city neighborhoods because, you know, the rent is cheap, and talk about how they're all about community, but then all their employees are white. Mm-hmm. Is one of the things they kind of question. It's like, well, if you want black people if you want people from the quote unquote community that you're in to come drink your beers, why don't you hire them and maybe educate them?
Yeah, that's, you know, a fair point.
Right. They're not asking for a lot. They're just asking for, like, not to be hypocrites, basically. Mm-hmm. And so that's where they're coming from. And I'm like, well, it's more like for them to decide if they forgive or not, because, like, I'm not the one personally affected by it. I just think it's a dumb idea that was done for shock. Mm-hmm. And then I was thinking about it today at work. Like, maybe would it have been better if they had, instead of just straight up referencing like the gangs themselves, maybe like a movie or something, like Colors or something, like a line from the movie? Because at least then they're like, well, we're not trying to co-opt gang culture, we're going off a movie that we liked.
Yeah.
Like Friday, like, damn, you just got knocked the fuck out.
Exactly.
So, man, Sean, did you read the article that I sent you on one Stephen Foster?
I did read a huge chunk of it. That was a pretty long article, and I can't believe that shit happened for so long. Like, I was like, dang. Like, how?
So, Stephen Foster, spelled S-T-E-P-H-E-N, Foster, he's basically the equivalent of the main character in Catch Me If You Can, except somehow he just bumbled into these things with breweries. So he'd go to a brewery with a resume that he, like, studied abroad and had worked at all these different breweries, and for whatever reason, maybe because they were small and just needed somebody, they never checked any of his references. Right. And so he was brought on as, like, head brewer.
Yeah, it's just so crazy to think, like, how do you interview and not, like, talk to people about, like, the beer and, like, I guess unless he just, like, really kind of knew it but didn't know it, you know, was able to describe things. It's kind of funny. It's almost like, what do you do? Like, do you have them brew a beer for you and follow your instructions to see if they really know it? Like, it's an interesting question. Like, how do you interview for, like, a head brewer?
Right. I mean, and generally, like, I would think, I guess if they're starting out or if they're in a desperate position, they can't promote, quote-unquote, promote from within.
Yeah.
But you could at least make a phone call and said, hey, Bavarian State Brewery, have you heard of this guy or the Seibel Institute in Chicago? Did this guy graduate? And if so, like, was it cool? So he also claimed to have worked at breweries in the Dominican Republic, Puerto Rico, and South Africa.
I would ask me, why is he going brewing at so many different places?
Right.
That seems so weird to me.
Well, like, how many of those places does he actually put on his resume? Like, you know what I'm saying? Does he lie in that part even? But so basically, like, he'll get a job at a brewery, start brewing, the beer sucks, and then just, like, bail with his family in the middle of the night. And at that point, the brewery's, like, invested, and so they've released all this beer that they need to sell to get their money back, and they can't because it's infected or just bad. And so he moves on to his next town, and they either have to close down or, like, do a desperate last-minute search for somebody to take his place.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So, and according to the timeline, he's jumped from Kentucky to South Africa, from Arizona to Indiana, from Tennessee to Pennsylvania, from Florida back to Kentucky. Did he went to Kentucky again, and he convinced a couple that owned a Black Hawk Farms to open a brewery named St. Arnulf Aylery, which is now unsurprisingly defunct. And so it's like a very interesting, there's a Reddit thread, there's actually a couple different Reddit threads about it. It's a really long article, and it's almost like I want somebody to make a documentary about this. It would be actually pretty cool to see, like,
right?
And not like one of these new, like, Netflix documentaries where there's, like, 6 1-hour, 2-hour long episodes. Like, just give me, like, a good, like, 80 minute long documentary on this dude. One episode.
No, it'd be pretty interesting to kind of see how he, like, bamboozled all these people for so long.
Exactly. So, speaking of bamboozled, Sean.
Bamboozled?
Bamboozled. There's an Instagram page that I came across called Worst Beer Blog.
Yeah.
And so basically, they kind of gather just all the dumb shit that's going on at breweries, like, and find the drama. So the newest drama is a brewery posted a thing in Texas about somebody messing with one of their kegs.
Mm-hmm.
There was like a 14-year-old barrel of like a beer that was like being aged, and so they said they were looking through their security camera footage to find out, and then people kind of were posting up on there. It's like, hey, I think it was. I saw some dude, he was, like, really drunk playing ping pong, and he broke one of the paddles, and then I heard a loud noise and I looked over and he was over by the barrels. And other people were like, yeah, I saw him doing stuff too. And like, they're almost like, well, why didn't you tell us? And it's like, I guess maybe we thought you guys knew what was going on. Maybe we should have told you, but we didn't. And now, like, this one person on the post is kind of calling around. I was like, this sounds like this brewery violated Texas law by having someone so drunk on the premises and potentially serving him. Hope authorities can get this under control as this brewery appears to be a danger to the community. And then the brewery replied, it sounds like you have zero knowledge of the situation. It's like, well, it sounds like you're not taking responsibility for violating Texas law by having someone severely intoxicated on your property. He was a danger to himself and others. Sorry about your beer. I'm glad you got home safe and didn't kill anyone. Maybe you either need to have more staff or training if you want to be licensed seller of alcohol. So that kind of went on for a while. Eventually, they, like, deleted the ability to make comments on that thread.
Yeah.
That guy just kept calling him out.
It's just crazy how it's just like, it's your fault because you're too drunk. No, it's your fault because you let me have too much beer. Like, right. No self-accountability.
I guess that's good and bad, but there are laws that if you see somebody drunk, you have to stop serving them, and I guess that protects the – it's supposed to protect the business from the person. It's like, well, why won't you serve me? And it's like, because I don't want to lose my liquor license, and then you have something to protect you. But at the same time, though, like if somebody gets drunk at your premises – and then they get in a car accident and kill someone, you're liable for that financially. Yeah. But go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was just saying that makes sense.
But then the reason I kind of came across them was because they actually posted a tweet from Sierra Nevada about the Resilience Ale
mm-hmm.
that they had released as a fundraiser to help the campfire victims, right? So they gave an update and that they're officially wrapping the project up. And I guess as part of the project, you had either sell all of the beer by a certain date or destroy it. Like April 30th was the cutoff.
Mm-hmm.
And so then like you had, and then they listed the process of turning the beer in, except they hadn't received they haven't received half of the pledges that were promised to them.
Yeah, it's just, that's so crazy that half didn't get done. Like, that's so much money.
Right. And, like, I mean, they gave you the ingredients for free.
Mm-hmm.
All you had to do was just, like, sell the beer. And, like, and I'm sure that kind of helped get, you know, people in. It's like, oh, these people are doing the fundraiser. Well, let's go check them out. I've never been to that brewery, but I want to get the Resilience beer to help out the fire victims.
Yeah.
That's just shady that some people out there, and I'm sure they know who they are. They haven't gotten to the point of calling anybody out.
Yeah.
Yet.
Yeah. I mean, they should though. I mean, it's just. I mean, I think it's really shady to take free product for a charity thing and then not even like they were gonna probably make money off of it anyways.
Right. So. And I wonder how many people even followed the instruction of, like, stop sale date of April 30th, you know? Because, you know, what if you brewed it and you have, you know, almost the full keg? Are you just going to, like, dump that keg out? Or are you going to keep selling it because, you know, people like it and you don't really have to report the sales because, quote-unquote, it's a charity thing, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, the Worst Beer Blog, man, that's a good follow on the Instagrams if you want to, you know, get pretty much first hand information on beer drama in the craft industry.
All the beer dramas.
So, on to happy news, Sean. Burger King was doing a test pilot for a program in Mexico City,
mm-hmm.
and now they decided to implement it in Los Angeles.
Oh boy, what kind of, are we getting? Are we getting tacos?
It's Burger King, Sean. Burger King.
So are we getting tacos?
No, 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 Mr. Sean. No, Mr. Sean.
Oh, okay.
So they made an app and it's voice activated, so you don't even have to like type or anything. But you can order Burger King while you're stuck in traffic in LA, as long as you're within like 1.7 miles of a Burger King.
so ridiculous.
And so right now, like, the app is kind of just limited, so you can only order the Whopper meal, mm-hmm. and you can either get water or Pepsi as your choice of beverage.
Oh, terrible choices. Maybe the water's okay, but still.
I don't know, man. I enjoy myself with Pepsi. I don't know what's wrong with you. I'm a Pepsi man.
Are you really?
Yes, I am.
I was Pepsi. I just can't do it anymore. I don't know. I'm just very Dr. Pepper. Like, I get disappointed if it's Coke. Even if it's just, like, Coke and there's no no Dr. Pepper, I'm still disappointed.
You need your man to be smart to be able to take care of you.
Yeah, I need Mr. Piv or Dr. Pepper. That's all. That's all there classy, is in life.
You're a classy drinker, huh?
Yep.
So you'll order, and then you'll pay through the app, and then they'll have people on motorcycles deliver the food to you. Like, it's a drug deal. Just, like, drive by and throw the food through the window and keep driving.
So do you have to give them, like, your car and what lane you're in?
I'm sure, yeah. Like, at least, like, yeah. And you just can't change lanes, and you better hope the traffic doesn't free up before it gets there, because then you have the motorcycle dude chasing you.
Yeah, exactly. It's pretty ridiculous, though.
But, I mean, there's already issues with, like, Uber Eats and stuff like that. I've heard stories where people have had their the doorbell cameras, and they'll see, like, the car pull up and say that it was delivered, but yeah. They never come to the door, and then they just cancel the order, and so the person delivery person has their food.
Free food. That's how you get a free dinner.
Yeah, you just pretend to be a delivery person for Uber Eats or whatever, Grubhub.
Yeah. Maybe your house is just too scary. Maybe turn on a light or something.
Get rid of the dead body in the front yard?
Yeah, exactly. It's not Halloween.
grave site with the tombstone that reads Uber driver.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But onto a different food news, Sean. You told me that I had homework. So that's kind of a first.
Did I make you give homework? I think I just told you I actually did something.
I know.
Outside of play Destiny and go to work.
And jerk off. Or do you not even do that?
Moving on. So did you end up watching it?
I watched the Alton Brown
hot
ones that came out like a year ago. So I was wondering how that came across your radar now as opposed to a year ago, Sean.
I don't know. Different YouTube things. Yeah, something like that. Like, I see multiple ads, like Chef Ramsay was on there, and then random other artists are on, not artists, but different celebrities are on there. There's some big wusses on that show. Luckily, I didn't. Alton Brown is a classy man, though. So basically,
they did point that out, that he was the only person that showed up in a suit and tie.
That is true. So if you haven't seen the show, basically, the host and the celebrity eat hot wings, and the hot wings go from, like, mild to really hot. And basically, while they're eating these wings, they talk. They do like an interview about, you know, what's going on. So, like, and then basically at the end, they'll kind of talk about whatever they want to talk about, like what the projects they're working on. But it was kind of funny because, like, Alton Brown just is this encyclopedia of knowledge and history of food and why you should do certain things. His show Good Eats was always, like, fun to watch because it's entertaining. And you, like, learn something. It's not necessarily just, like, learning about how to cook. It's, like, you learn the history of the dish or the history of, like, the cocktail or whatever the show is going on. So I thought it was really, really fun and really interesting.
Right. And I know it was pretty fun. Like, the other thing they do is one of the segments they have is they go through and just find random Instagram posts by the person and basically make them explain why they put them on there or what their thoughts were on why they posted that. The one thing I can't get behind Alton Brown on there, Sean, is that he besmirched Del Taco.
He did. He did attack Del Taco. I don't know why. I think it's because, like, Del Taco tries a little bit on like, ETH did, like, a stint on the East, and it was really bad and unsuccessful. So I think, like, people on the East Coast just have, like, a really bad idea of Del Taco.
I mean, granted, Del Taco's not a great Mexican food place, but it's definitely better than Taco Bell. And it's, you know...
That is true. That's a valid point.
like they actually have, like, you can actually see that it's chicken and steak and other meat and hamburger in their tacos and burritos, as opposed to just, like, mystery meat. Plus, they have crinkle cut fries, which are the best.
Yeah. No, the fries are pretty decent. I thought one of the funny things that he said was, like, when like a city gets like a certain reputation for something, like the quality tends to go down because like they feel like they hit the top tier and they don't feel like they have to try anymore. And he ripped on Buffalo for buffalo wings. He said if he ever got buffalo wings, he wouldn't go to Buffalo to get them.
Exactly, Buffalo and Buffalo. And then the other one was the Cubano sandwiches in Orlando.
Yeah.
Or Tampa Bay, one of the two. But yeah, one of the Florida cities with their Cuban sandwiches. And it's like, yeah, because it's become known that that's where the place to go to get them. So the tourists go, and so they don't have to. If a tourist goes, and it's like, they're on vacation, and it's been just word of mouth knowledge and actual science knowledge that everything tastes better on vacation.
Yeah.
Red Stripe is one of the beers that kind of suffers from that. People go to Jamaica and they're like, oh man, that beer Red Stripe was amazing. Oh look, they have it here. And then they buy it and it's like, it's not nearly as good as it was on vacation. Because you're looking through it through vacation colored goggles.
Yeah. Pretty much. But no, I thought the other part was pretty funny was he actually ranked the hot sauces and explained why they tasted good or they didn't. Like, I think overall he had like the most interesting like view, because even Chef Ramsay like was just like, oh, this is really hot, like wham wham wham. Like, I didn't like Chef Ramsay is kind of like a baby when it comes to hot sauce,
right? Like he more just wanted to like get it over with almost, versus like Alton Brown, where he's like actually putting like his nerd science into it, where he's like, all right, this one could be good if it had like some spices added. And then he named like a couple spices that they could add to probably make that thing like perfect.
Yeah.
And then there was one, I can't remember the name of it. I know it started with a D, where he was like, this, I'm not even going to put this one on the list. This one was so bad.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm sure the people that make it might be lovely people, but your hot sauce is garbage.
So yeah, it was really fun. I did post the YouTube page onto it, onto our Facebook, so if you want to give it a listen and watch, you can. It was just very interesting to watch, and I figured everybody would enjoy it.
I know I did. Earlier we alluded to Netflix and HBO in there just dragging the fuck out of documentary, Sean.
I did it again, Danny. I ended up watching, I watched two episodes of three about Casey Anthony. So if you don't know who it is, it's a, basically in 2008, it was found out that this little girl was missing, and her mom never reported it for like a month that her child was missing. And it's a giant scandal of different news, and then like the defense attorney like throws like all these different wrenches in, and you know, it happened like so long ago, if you don't know what happened, like spoiler alert, but she gets off with the murder, I think, to a technicality. And I haven't finished it to see exactly what happened, but it was just a very crazy roller coaster of a documentary, because like people like continuously like hate Casey, like there was people like going to her house picketing, you know, all this stuff about how they're a baby killer. It's like, I think they gave her the title of the USA's worst mother.
I know Nancy Grace on CNN or MSNBC pretty much owes her entire career to the Casey Anthony case, because that just gave her a chance to go crazy and just yell at everybody that was on her show about how she thinks that Casey Anthony needed to be locked up from day zero.
Yeah, I mean, there's some very crazy, and, you know, of course, every documentary has an agenda, but, you know, when you look at the facts, like, there's a lot of just weird things going on in it, and, you know, because I remember hearing about it, Danny, but I didn't, like, follow it day by day, event per event, and it was, like, one of the biggest trials of, like, I think social media history, you know, everybody's, like, sending out different things, people are accessing it quicker, like, it's crazy how this case turned into a high state. I mean, it was so, the picketing and everything was so bad that they actually had to bring in jurors from another town that didn't, like, that weren't so biased against her to actually do the trial, correct. So it's a pretty interesting documentary, and I mean, it does get very repetitive with things, like, you know, it has to do, like, you know, the 10-minute summary of what happened before. It's just, it, per usual, it is a Netflix documentary, so there's, like, a lot of, like, duplicate efforts, but it's pretty interesting so far, and they do a very good job of kind of piecing the story together.
Right. I mean, generally, like, documentaries, like, have to do a good job of piecing the story together and at least try to hide their the point of view they're trying to force, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, and Netflix seems to be doing pretty well, and that seems, you know, it seems like documentaries are almost taking over the world the way reality TV did however many years ago when Survivor and all them were big in the name in the news.
Mm-hmm. I think there's definitely a lot more, and I think Hulu and Netflix are really making their own content and kind of going over things. I mean, there's a movie already about what was that killer from the 80s or 70s?
The Night Stalker, Richard Menendez.
No, the guy up in Wisconsin, Mike's hero.
That guy, yeah, I know who you're talking about. The guy that, like, hid people under his porch.
Yeah, I guess they destroyed that house. Mike was telling me he drove by the address. The house is demolished now, so I was like, man, they missed, like, a prime opportunity to, like, you know, make it a landmark and make, it, like, so much money off of it. Like, people love visiting crazy places like that.
Or, I guess, if you want to be the less greedy or whatever side is, you can, like, keep it open and make it into a museum of serial killers so that people can kind of, like, see the warning signs of a serial killer, learn of things
exactly. So I think it was kind of funny that they tore it down. I think it would have been interesting to keep up, to kind of look at for those different things. So But yeah, no, because they have, I don't remember, was it Hulu that has that one? Like, there's, like, a famous actor that is actually playing him. It's that...
Oh Zac Efron.
Yeah, it's Zac Efron. Who would have thought, man? This little cheerleader guy from Disney is, like, this now big-name actor.
Right? Especially after, you know, doing things like Baywatch.
Exactly. It almost reminds me of, like, Heath Ledger, like, going from, like, the pretty boy stuff, just going to, like, these crazy dark roles so quickly.
And then dead?
Hopefully Zac Efron doesn't meet that, doesn't go that far.
Right. It's the guy's named Ted Bundy, and the documentary is called Extremely Wicked, Shockingly Evil and Vile.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know what's funny about that is a lot of women were tweeting about how hot Ted Bundy was, and then other people were, like, trying to shame them, like, how dare you talk about a serial killer, this guy's this, you know, he has mental issues, he's got this, he's got that, how dare you say he's attractive? And it's like, and then people kind of came to defend with from the more logical side of, but that's kind of one of the things about serial killers is they're very personable, they're very friendly to people, they're very, like, open to talking to people, you know, like an A personality, well, they'll just come in, like, be able to, like, almost make friends with anybody, and they're also generally also, like, very attractive, except for that one dude, John Wayne Gacy, that dressed up like the clown. But he dressed up like a clown, so I guess he tried to. That's why he covered up with makeup. But yeah, so everyone's like, wow, Zac Efron's, you know, as hot as this guy. And it's like, yeah, they did that on purpose because he was considered attractive. Just like Richard Menendez, the Night Stalker, he would like break into women's houses in the middle of the night and have sex with them and kill them.
Mm-hmm.
But he was still getting, you know, proposals in when he was in jail, and he would get women coming and like visiting him while he was in jail, trying to, you know, maybe save him, or they're just, you know, the serial killer groupies, whatever they were. But he was thought of as being a charming and attractive man.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely goes into the part, and I think people have to accept that. Like, why they go, like, why would, you know, women fall for this? And it's like, well, you know, he was a smooth talker. He was good looking. They, you know, they wanted, you know, in their mind, they were probably imagining like a fun, you know, sexy evening that, you know, didn't go that way, obviously. But I mean,
well, for one of them.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just like one of those things, like you have to accept all parts of the story. You can't just pick and choose what facts you want.
Right. You talk about how that he was very charming and attractive, and you can't just ignore that, because that's, again, those are like psychological traits and physical traits of serial killers. So, you know, ignoring it, just saying I don't want to think that was true doesn't make it not true.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Sean.
So, Daniel.
I had you watch a couple of trailers.
Oh boy.
They're releasing a solo series for Batwoman after having her guest on one of the CW shows as one of their multi-part tie-in crossover universe shows.
Was it the same girl?
Yes.
Oh. Okay. I did not watch the other thing.
The actual show?
Yeah, I did not watch the actual show.
I watched like clips of the show, and just because I'm not, you know, for the same reason I don't read DC Comics and Marvel Comics, I don't need to watch five shows so that I know what's going on in one show.
Yeah.
Even though they're supposed to be canceling, like, Arrow and or Flash or something. Well, at least one of the shows is getting canceled.
Yeah. Everything's getting canceled. It's all going on to that other show. Or that other thing.
Well, that's DC, not Marvel, but yeah. I think they're just getting canceled because it's either getting too expensive to make and no one's watching it, or just no one's watching it. But I kind of wish American TV would follow the British plan of the way they do things.
What's that?
They basically know how, when they make the show, they know how many episodes they're going to do. So, like, this show's going to be two seasons and that's it.
Oh, gotcha.
Because, you know, like, after they broke out of prison, why do they need to make more show? The show's called Prison Break. They broke out of prison. Oh, they're back in prison again.
Oh, they're terrible at avoiding prison, it sounds like.
Yeah, right. Now they got to break back in. Now the brother that was in prison before that had to be broken out.
Yeah.
He's getting himself arrested on purpose so he can go rescue the brother that fake got locked up to save him the first time.
Yeah.
All right. Whatever, man. Show sucks. So
tell me how you really feel.
But, you know, I'm a huge fan of Batwoman. She's probably one of my, like, top favorite characters in the comics.
Mm-hmm. No, she has some really good storylines. I really enjoy her character and her character development through Greg Rucka and some of the other writers that have gotten their hands on her.
Right, and the thing I like about her is that she, in the comics, she deals more with supernatural type stuff than Batman, where Batman just kind of deals with street thugs.
Yeah, that is that is true. That is a big difference between them as well.
I know, like, in the trailer, like, it came across a little heavy-handed, where it's like they brought up more than once that, you know, she's not a man, she's a woman, she's not Batman, she's, you know, Batwoman. And, of course, you know, the anti-social justice warriors were super triggered.
Yep.
The snowflakes that they are. Like, you know, this Batcave will be perfect as soon as I put a kitchen in there.
Yeah. Making a bunch of stupid comments. Yep.
Right, and I was reading this, I was watching this video, and they were talking about an article that claimed that the Batwoman trailer was being review bombed on YouTube.
Yeah.
And his thing, he was trying to say, like, well, that's not fair, because any logical and sensible debate about why this show isn't going to be good is being labeled as being review bombing. And I'm, like, reading the reviews, and there was not once where they, like, actually brought up anything about how the character had nothing to do with the comics or the show just looked bad. It was, everything was about how it was a woman character and how, mm-hmm. you know, if some of the lines, like, well, if a man would have said that, then it would have been sexist and they would have been banning the show. And it's like, just watch the fucking show, like, or don't watch the show, but don't, like, try to, you know, be mad because it's a woman. Because, like, there's a guy I work with, he flat out said that he won't watch a movie, an action movie, where the main character is a woman, because he just doesn't find it believable.
There you go.
Right. And which makes it even more awesome is the fact that he has two kids that are both daughters.
Yeah. Oh,
and so, boy. And then they released a Terminator trailer, Sean. I didn't know they were making a new Terminator movie.
It sounds like one of those movies they always, like, bring back every couple of years. Every, like, 3 to 5 years.
But here's the twist. Mm-hmm. This Terminator movie is erasing almost all of the Terminator properties.
Really?
Basically, the new canon is Terminator 1, Terminator 2,
mm-hmm.
and this movie.
Really? So basically they're going to ignore everything that happened, all the other ones?
The TV show, the Sarah Connor Chronicles, Terminator 3, the one with Christian Bale, and then Terminator Salvation, and then Terminator Genesis, which apparently I watched. So I went to put it on my Netflix queue because I'm like, wait, there was a Terminator Genesis? And I put it on my Netflix queue, and I had already reviewed it.
It was so forgettable, you forgot about it, even though rated it.
Right, I mean, granted, I watched it like 4 years ago. It was like in 2015.
In your rating, did you say it's forgettable?
I don't remember. But then somebody decided to tweet out about how this movie is just another example of Hollywood giving into the social justice warrior agenda of forcing a movie that should be with a man in that role, having a woman in that role. Right?
Yeah, and like the first two movies are about Sarah Connor.
Right, and that was the best part of the tweet was the guy actually got a reply from somebody involved in the movie, namely former Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, who like basically is like, have you even watched the movies? You know, Sarah Connors was the star of like the first two movies.
It's like everybody wants to like go after any movie with a female lead. Like it's like it, I get it. Like people don't. Some people don't like it. Well, just don't watch it. You don't have to get all freaking crazy about it. And I get it. There's at times where, again, it gets thrown in your face a little bit. But, I mean, I think there's plenty of other movies that are really great. Like, I think of Wonder Woman did a super fantastic job of being a female lead, and it was a very good, you know, movie. And it showed, like, you know, she didn't have to be all, like, super sexy, flashy or anything like that. You could just have a good action movie with a female lead.
Right, I mean, granted, it was the best of the DC movies, although, I mean, it suffers from the same flaws that Marvel does as far as the storytelling and, like, how the third act just basically turns into a huge CGI battle that is almost can be forgettable, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Almost as forgettable as Genesis, apparently. But then...
Go ahead.
But here's the other thing, too, is people forget that movies, like... Movies have always been political. You know, they're like, we don't want our politics in movies or comics or whatever. And it's like, movies and comics have always been political. I mean, every movie, going back to even the silent movie, almost every movie has some sort of a political agenda behind it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even like the zombie movies, the George Romero zombie movies were like Dawn of the Dead, where they're like, the people hold up in the mall and the zombies all go there, was mocking like consumerism. You know, that was like where the mindless zombies just go into the mall, you know?
That's pretty funny.
And then, like, I recently sent a friend of the show, Man Thing, a screenshot from a comic from, like, the 80s, an X-Men comic.
Yeah.
And the character talking was a woman. I can't remember whom it was. But she was basically like, look, you know, we're the women in this thing, on the team can do this without the men, kind of a thing, you know, right? Yep. Like a woman's first thing. And I sent that to him, and he was like, wait, so comics have kind of always been like this? And I'm like, yes, comics have always been political. Like, the X-Men is a super thinly veiled commentary on, you know, Malcolm X and Dr. Martin Luther King, and there are different ways of approaching things, you know?
I mean, hell, Captain America was literally made to help, like, you know, came around during the Nazis. He fights Nazis. Didn't, like, Superman fight Nazis, too, like, back in the day?
Yes.
Like...
And, you know, like, when they had the comics code was kind of big, the one comic that kind of fought against it, they did a Green Arrow one where his sidekick Speedy OD'd.
Yeah.
And so that was, like, you know, they did a whole, like, anti-drug thing.
At least, you know? There's, like, one picture where Batman, like, makes fun of him. He's like, at least my sidekick isn't a druggie. There's, like, Robin, like, smiling, like, ha-ha, look at me! I'm not a druggie!
Right. And I'm sure if they made a Batman movie and they had a female Robin character, people would probably lose their shit, too. It's like, Robin's always been a male. How dare they make ruin Batman by having have a female Robin? And it's like, you know, there's been two female Robins.
There has been.
You know, it's these people that they just want to react because for shock value. It's not even about facts or anything like that. They just want to complain, and they can then hope they can get enough of their, you know, basically underage audience that the only research they do is watch their the videos of these people to get them to react, and then to, you know, basically echo chamber their sentiments.
Yeah. So what are your thoughts on the Wonder Woman, the Batwoman trailer?
The Batwoman trailer, I actually liked it. I like Ruby Rose. I think she's a really good actor. She's been in, like, Fast and the Furious and a few other action movies. So so she can kind of handle her own. I mean, she looks small, but she's not dainty, I guess. But she's got the haircut. She's got the look, I think.
I mean, she is a brunette compared to being a redhead in the thing.
But that's not a big deal.
Yeah.
Right. All that matters is with the suit on, because that's a wig that she wears on the suit, because she's got that little side mohawk thing in the comics. They have the same haircut, just different color, I guess. That's the big thing.
I was, like, watching the trailer, I was like, oh my god, the suit doesn't have the red hair. Like, until, like, and then at the very end, it's like, ba-da! The red hair is there, and I was like, oh, nice.
Yeah, they do the full reveal at the end of the trailer.
Yeah.
The villain is, one of the main ones that she fights. That's basically her Joker.
Yeah, and I mean, do they understand the story of Batwoman? Like, of course the villain is a female. Like, I mean, I don't want to spoil it, because we both know probably what's going to happen since we read the books. But, I mean, come on, like... I'm just if you read the books, you would understand. You would know where this is going. Like, right, none of this is a shocking twist.
Right, that you can't have Batwoman without having that character as the villain, because, like I said, that is her Lex Luthor, that is her Joker, that is, you know, and it's very, the tie to each other is very significant. Like, you can't not have that character in the show.
Exactly. I mean, they do have the father. I mean, I know, like, I think in Greg Rucka's version, they kind of made their own equipment, but, I mean, I get it. Like, they stumbled across the Batcave and stole stuff and mod it for her. Like, that's perfectly fine. Like, it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. Like, I don't think that's a huge, crazy, like, I don't think it's that much of a stretch, like, to do. Because, I mean, how many other people are going to figure out how to make those, like, grappling hooks and different things?
Right, because in the comics, her dad is former military, and then she was in the military and got kicked out for being a lick-a-lot-a-puss. and the character, she is Bruce Wayne's cousin.
The which character?
Batwoman, Kate Kane.
Is she?
Yes.
In the comics?
Yes.
Oh, I must have missed that chapter. I know, like, once she got her when she left detective and it started, she had, like, a lot of, when she got her own line, I, like, fell through at some point.
Right, I've pretty much read them all, as far as I know. I can't say for sure, but I'm pretty sure I've read all of her single books since then. Gotcha. And yeah, she is Batman's cousin.
Yeah. So this is going to be a TV show, not even a movie?
No, it's going to be part of the CW network stuff, which, again, I want to watch, but I don't want to get suckered into twice a year tie-ins where I have to watch all the shows. And even worse, when one of those tie-in seasons is a musical.
We're going to have hopefully they'll do Blackest Night. Wouldn't that be crazy?
Hush. I'm not talking about the comics, John. I just want you to stop talking.
Oh, here we go. I'm making up time for last week since you cut us short.
It's okay. So, we still have more stuff. We can move on. Unless you want to contribute more on this topic. Because, well, we haven't talked about the Terminator trailer, really. Because, like, the Terminator trailer looks like a Terminator trailer. It's,
There's robots, you know. They're getting shot up and destroyed and exploded with grenade launchers, and they keep coming back. It's a Terminator trailer.
So, one of the cool things about the Terminator movie, Dark Fate is the subtitle of it, is that the director of the movie is Tim Miller, who also has... he directed the title sequences for Thor Dark World. Mm-hmm. But he also made his feature film directing debut with Deadpool.
Got you.
So this is the movie he went to after him and Ryan Reynolds kind of disagreed for the direction of Deadpool 2. And he got kicked off, and now he did the Terminator instead.
I feel like they were like, hey, let's not bring in your dead girlfriend into Deadpool 2. And then Ryan Reynolds was like, yes. We are. And he's like, all right, I'm out of here.
And then there's a team of three screenwriters, but the first one listed, the main one, seemingly, is David S. Goyer,
mm-hmm.
who his screenwriting works include The Blade Trilogy, The Dark Knight Trilogy, Dark City, Man of Steel, Batman v Superman. And then he's directed four films, including Blade Trinity and a couple others. And he's video writing credit, so he's not unfamiliar with writing either action movies at all. So it's got some promise. It's got some quality pedigree behind it.
Yeah.
The cast looks pretty good. The character that I thought was in there, it looked like it was somebody else, but I guess he would have been older. It looked like the one actress from Benny and June.
Mm-hmm.
But it's her name is Mackenzie Davis, and she's like in Blade Runner 2049 and a few other movies. But it looks like she's playing a robot or something. I'm not too sure, but it looks like she's trying to protect this little girl, and Terminator's chasing after them and on a highway. And then they kind of get pulled over, and all of a sudden Linda Hamilton, Sarah Connor, comes out of nowhere basically with like a minigun.
Basically.
So, I mean, it like you said, it looks like a Terminator movie, but it's got some direct some chops behind it that are some good pedigree. So I'm looking forward to it. The release date is November 1st of 2019.
Oh boy.
And it's distributed by Paramount Pictures in North America and Walt Disney Studios in the rest of the world. So, I watched a wrestling movie, Sean. Wrestling.
You do love your wrestling.
I do. It's called Wrestling with My Family, and it's basically the documentary of the WWE wrestler Paige, the goth girl from the wrestling that basically was forced to retire because she had injured her back, came back, and was in a match, and one of the wrestlers either botched a move or just mistimed it or something like that and kicked her in the back, and that re-injured her.
Okay.
And so basically it was one of those things of, you know, if she wrestled again, she would be paralyzed.
Yeah.
And so they kind of made her back behind the scenes talent.
Gotcha.
It was written and directed by Stephen Merchant, who along with Ricky Gervais, is the creator of the British version of The Office.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then the character that plays her dad is Nick Frost, who is usually standing next to Simon Pegg in every movie he's in.
Gotcha. I know who you're talking about.
Right, and he doesn't look like him, dude. He's got like this full like mohawk and beard. So the story is like that they run a family business, wrestling business. It's like her, it's like the parents, the mom and dad, and then it's her and her brother wrestle with it. And then they kind of teach kids how to wrestle. Her brother is one that's basically expected to make it to the WWE. They both get tryouts, but only she makes it. And so there's just the kind of dealing with her going through the process of NXT. The actress that plays her mom, I lost the name. I'll get it. It's the one that she's in 300, and she's also in Game of Thrones, Cersei's.
Yeah.
Lena Dunham. Lena Headey.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So I'm sure everybody's seen her boobs at some point.
Me, pretty much. At some
point. If you haven't seen Game of Thrones, but you've seen 300, then you've seen her boobs, or vice versa, right?
Exactly.
I'm sure she showed the boobies in Game of Thrones, right? Like everybody else did at some point.
I don't know if she did. I don't think she did. That may have only been in 300.
Okay. Well, if you want to see her boobies and haven't seen 300, go ahead. There's a reason for you to watch 300. But it's got like some pretty it's some wrestling cameos. It's kind of interesting because one of the wrestlers that she wrestles. Isn't involved in WWE anymore, so they like brought her back for the documentary to be the proper time period of AJ Lee.
Okay,
right?
Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of like at least semi classy on the part of the filmmakers because mm-hmm. The Rock produced it, and I'm sure WWE had their hands on it like they always do.
They have to make sure they portray a certain story,
right? And so it basically cuts off with her getting to the WWE, making it. It doesn't kind of continue into like the it only continues on the up. It doesn't continue down to the down where she's forced to retire.
Yeah.
But it's actually really good. It's worth watching. Like I said, The Rock is really good in it. Steven Merchant, him and his wife, him and the actress that plays his wife are the parents of the girl that their son is dating. Mm-hmm. And so they're very like classy and they go to this family that's very like cockney and into wrestling and stuff and just loud and not as posh as they are. So there's a lot of funny movie moments. It's not a very long movie, but it's definitely worth a watch, even if you're not a fan of wrestling.
Yeah.
Just it's basically like any other sports movie, right?
Yeah.
Where it's got its down moments. The character needs some motivation.
And they come back up.
Exactly. That being said too, this Thursday, so by the time you've listened to this, I would have already watched it. I'm going to go to Bar Wrestling to watch Joey Ryan, the King of Dong Style, announce his future plans because his contracts have kind of run out in the wrestling organizations he's worked with, and all of his friends formed their own wrestling group called AEW, All Elite Wrestling, and they just recently had a pay-per-view event, their second one in Vegas, called Double or Nothing. Because their first one was called All In, and so now so that was pretty much a huge success. They ended up they were able to steal Dean Ambrose away from WWE.
Yeah,
he didn't resign. His contract is up and didn't resign, and he basically showed up as a surprise under his real name, John Moxley. So he's already got his next like three opponents scheduled. They have their next event in Florida in June. They're working on getting a TV deal with TNT, so that'll be good for them. So I've seen things where one guy who used to work with WWE say that, don't be fooled, WWE and AEW are in cahoots together. This is all just like a scam that they're fighting each other. But then I read another one that Vince McMahon was like visibly shaken backstage at the success of AEW because he didn't think they would do nearly as good as they did.
It's good to have some good, healthy competition. You don't want to
Because when WWE was at its height was when WCW was actually beating them in television ratings. Like listening to interviews, like WWE was making more money from like merchandise and from their events.
Yeah.
But WCW was beating them in the ratings for like 82 or 84 weeks straight. They beat them.
Yeah.
And so that's when like Stone Cold and The Rock and all them kind of came to the rise in power.
Yeah.
And popularity.
That is true. That is true.
So, the next episode, I should have an update on both Joey Ryan and his penis.
I don't know if the show needs that, but okay, we'll go with it.
and everybody, you have homework. If you haven't already, just Google Joey Ryan dick flip on YouTube. Not even Google, just go on YouTube. It's, you know, people make fun of it because it's like, oh, and they say wrestling's not fake. And it's like, he acknowledges that it's a bit and he knows what's going on. But if you just go there and just have fun and get a little drunk, it's a great time.
Fair enough.
But until then, why don't you just go ahead and give us a follow on the Instagrams, the Facebooks. Check us out on both on Podbean, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts. Give us reviews. Subscribe to us. Tell us you like us. Tell us you hate us. Just tell us something.
You could say you hate us and Danny's obsession for wrestling and dick flips. All right, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Bye, everybody.